Let's get ready to go into the Word. Psalms 23, we've been doing this series called The Shepherd. Say, The Shepherd. We love that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Say, The Lord is my shepherd. Some of you, I'll work yet. Say, The Lord is my. Come on, say, the Lord is my shepherd. We need Jesus to be our shepherd. Jesus referred to himself as the great shepherd in the Gospel of John. We've seen that. We've talked about it. This has been just an amazing series because when you start something, you never know where God's going to direct it. How you doing, my friend? But you begin to see God direct and guide and inform us. And I said to the first service, praise God when God gives you an answer to a question after you have the question or the problem, and he shows you what to do. But we've seen God give us direction from his word before we knew there was a question or problem being played out in the media of our television sets. And if you've been with us or you got the CDs or the iTunes downloads, listen to it because the word of God does make a difference. Romans says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. 1 John chapter 5 tells us, and this is the victory that comes from your faith, even your faith, to overcome the world. See, God knew that you're going to deal with challenges, questions, problems, bumps, mountains, call it what you will. And so he doesn't want you to be on the defense. He wants you to be on the offense. Can I get an amen to that? When you start looking for which is the back door to run because you're trying to run away from the problem, that's probably not a God thing because God didn't give you the spirit of fear but of power and love and sound mind. Because there will be storms, but he doesn't want the storms around you to get in you. He wants you to be able to see clearly and correctly so you can navigate. Even when Paul was shipwrecked and he was floating and it seemed like a bad scenario, he told everybody around, don't freak out. The angel Lord told me tonight that we'd all be okay. There's got to be somebody in our generation that can speak some clarity to those who are freaking out by pressures or problems or what the media says. It says, don't freak out. God's word tells us you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay because it can't just be about us. It's got to be about the people around us to make a difference. The Lord is my shepherd. God doesn't want you on the defense. He wants you really on the offense. We've been talking about that. Don't let when fear's knocking on the door, don't let fear in. When the problems and storms are on the outside, don't let them in. Because when the pressures and the problems of outside get on the inside and you have storms on the inside, you can't navigate correctly. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you feel loved. I don't care how important you are in life. When the storm's on the inside, you can't see clearly. It's like being in a bad storm on the outside. Have you ever tried to look around and you're driving your car and it's like a major thunderstorm and your windshield wiper's only going so fast? And it's so. And what do a lot of people do? They slow down or they get off to the roadside of life. So a lot of people are living life on the roadside because the storm was so bad, they were too afraid to make a move because they couldn't see clearly. When the storm on the outside's on the inside, you can't see clearly. But when there's peace on the inside, even though when there is storm on the outside, God can shine his light because it's the entrance of his word gives light. And when God gives you revelation, even when there's a storm on the outside, you see clearly. Why? Because you're just not looking the way the natural or average person looks. You don't look at the situation the way everybody else looks. You begin to look the way God shows you, and you begin to see what other people can't see. And instead of like David who saw an impossible giant, David saw a God opportunity. They said, try this armor. David said, no, I'll use these stones. It didn't make sense to the natural man, but God will begin to show you what to do, and you can calm some people down, you can help some people out, but at the end of the day, we are not going backward, we are not buckling our knee, we are not running in terror or being afraid. You will rise up and live life and on the offense, move forward in life, making choices and decisions, not by how your emotions feel, but what God has showed you by his word. And when the devil said, don't take a step, you'll go under. You say, no, God's already told me, I'm going over. That storm can't take me out. That storm can't take me down. And I will see myself through the storm, and the storm will not last, but you will in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? You will in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? You will. Somebody needs to hear that. You're thinking, oh God, this storm I'm in is going to take me out. I speak the word of God over your life. You are not going out. You are not going under. You will make it. You will make it. You will make it in the name of Jesus. You will stand strong. And when the winds stop and the water goes, pulls back, and people begin to see, because now the sun has come up, they will see that you did not quit. You did not give in. You did not fail. You've made it. You've made it. You've made it. You're to be the head and not the tail. Above always and never to be beneath. On the offense and not on the defense. Quit trying to survive. You're called to advance. Quit trying to survive. You're called to advance. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's go to verse 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Verse 5, look at this. Say, you have prepared, he has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. We shared last week, God doesn't need everybody to like you to promote you. No, the Bible says the promotion doesn't come from the east and the west. But God's promotion comes from him. God can promote you even if your boss don't like you. Because probably your boss has got another boss. And it's amazing. He'll call and say, I don't like him, but I don't care. I want you to promote him. Give him a raise. But okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. Yes, whatever it might be. God has a way of promoting you, even if people don't like you. We have allowed politics to come into our walk with God. We think we got to get everybody to like us, and we got to play the networking game, and you got to do favors for people so you can call upon a favor from them in the future. And then you get mad. They didn't help you, but you helped them. And I can't believe they didn't help me. I helped them. They owe me. Whoa. That's the world system. God's system. You'll help people not even expecting them to help you back. Because what you sow, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he reap. You can walk at a whole different level of living that doesn't make sense. Oh, you shouldn't do it that way. I've seen people. You're going to get burned. No. You do it the world's way. You get burned. You do it the world's way. You get burned. Oh, God, why did this happen? Well, you've been on the world's path long enough. Don't shout me down. Just repent. Get on the right road. Get on the right highway. Repentance doesn't mean you cry. Repentance means you get off the next exit, turn around, and get on the right direction. Because no matter if you're on the highway going west, you can cry, you can pray, you can fast, you can plead, you can get people to agree, and you can say, oh, God, make it go east. Help us go east. But if you're on the highway going west, you're still going west. God's given you the ability to repent. That's why the Bible says, let go, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. That sin's not holding you. Who needs to hear that? Don't raise your hand. That sin's not holding you. That sin, that addiction's not holding you. If it was holding you and you didn't have power, then it would be improper for the Word of God to tell you to let it go. The reason the Word of God tells you to let it go, to give you perspective, you're holding it. Oh, the devil's really got... No, he don't. He's defeated. He's defeated. He's defeated. In Jesus' name. Maybe what you're saying and doing, you're hanging on to him. He's crying, let me go, let me go. Oh, Jesus, help me. Let me go, let me go. Oh, Jesus, let it go. Let that thing go. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One translation says, while my enemies... have to look on. See, God's not trying to get them all to like you before he can bless you. He doesn't need everybody to agree with you. You don't have to get everybody. In fact, it would be to your best interest not to get everybody to agree with you, because if for you to get everybody to agree with you, you got to tell everybody. And for you to tell everybody, the moment you begin to tell them, some people are going to be against you naturally. Some people are going to be jealous because they don't want you to get ahead, and they're going to be talking against you. Why create more opposition? Some things you got to keep to yourself and the few God shows you. You just obey God. Watch God, how he'll begin to brighten your light. You don't need to dim your light. You know, a lot of houses, you can walk in the room and you can turn the light on and turn the light off. But some have a dimmer switch. You just hit it and you watch it go boom, 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 boom. And some go boom, 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 boom. And some of you, oh, I don't want a bright light. I'll just turn on a little bit light. Some of you have been living with a little bit of light. You're living at dim level number 2. Because you're afraid that if you shine too bright, people will be mad. Let them be mad. Let them be mad. You're not there to make him. I'm not saying brag or be weird. No. You don't have to tell everything. In fact, I believe with all my heart that if you're the real deal, you don't have to tell people. They're going to know it. If you got to tell me you're anointed, probably you're not. Because if you're really anointed, I should sense that when you walked in the door. If you're telling me, oh, I'm so generous, I'll know when you act in generosity, not because you told me you're generous. I don't need you to tell me. I need you to show me. A lot of people aren't telling. They become professional marketers. Say amen. They say all the things that need to be said to make themselves look good, to build their brand. But don't tell me. Just show me. Let me see by your lifestyle who you are. Because the proof is in the walking it out, is it not? You can tell me you love me, but if everything you do is hateful, we'll leave that right. We've got to move on. Thou preparest a table. Stop it. Stop it over there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. He prepares a table even in the midst of your enemies. Now, we're talking today about what are some key things, because if there is a table for you, prepared for you, with your name on it, why aren't we at that table? Why don't we walk up to that table? Why aren't we receiving what's at that table? This has to move, my friend, this has to move beyond a idea or a church thing to where you live this thing. And we're all growing. We're all growing. But what are some things that help us? I mean, if some of you are amazing chefs and cooks, and some of you, you just are incredible. There's no reason to go on an Atkins diet around you. You do the cakes and the cookies, and you bake the meals. You do the whole nine yards. And you'll do special meals. Have you ever had somebody do a special? Might be your birthday. They'll do a special meal for you. Or a holidays or Christmas. Whatever. Can you imagine someone spending time and planning and money to do an amazing meal for you? Maybe it's Christmas and all the family shows up. And you show up, but you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to sit here in the next room. I can smell the food. That should be good enough for me. It's just the aroma and knowing other people are eating. It's all I need. I don't ask for much. What would they tell you? After a few bleeps, beep, beep, beep. They would tell you, get up off that couch. Get yourself in there. I spent all day working on that meal for you. And some people, we think we're being humble. Well, no, I appreciate all the hard work, but I'll just sit here and just smell the aroma. You'd be like, no, you're not making me happy at all because I put effort into this. I want your butt in that chair, fork in your mouth. I want you to start enjoying what I've prepared. Now, I don't think God gets mad, but I think he starts wondering. Sometimes Christians, we think we're being humble. Oh, God, I don't have to have what you bought for me. I know you prepared that table. I don't even know it's even possible. Even in the, maybe down the road I'll be worthy to receive it. Let me help you out. You're not. You'll never be worthy to all the goodness of God. That's why it's by grace. By grace you are saved through faith. And in that salvation encompasses everything that is a part of this side of eternity and on the other side. It's all been purchased on the cross of Calvary. You're not being humble by denying it. You're not being humble by ignoring it. You're robbing yourself and God. You're robbing. And it's like, oh, I don't know if God could do it for me here. Well, that's exactly what Israel said in Psalm 78. Take your own time, write it down, search it out, challenge everything I say with the word of God. And they said in Psalm 78, can God prepare a table for us here in the wilderness? Well, all of a sudden, the problem, the surrounding, the situation, the location became too big for God to handle. Sometimes we make some things too big. Oh, God couldn't do it for me here. Well, not with that level of faith. You nasty, doubting person, you. But if you believe, faith comes by hearing the word. If you get that rhema, that revelation, the revealed word, if you can believe, all things are possible, Jesus said to those who believe. Even in the wilderness, he can prepare a table. Even with that bad job, he can still give you more than enough. Even on, I'm on retirement, Social Security. He can still do it. Don't limit your God. Don't limit your God. Don't limit your God. Oh, I'm on a set income. You ought to change your words. You should never, ever, 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 ever say that you are on a set income again. You have just capped your God. You just said he can do more. You are trusting the government more than your Jehovah Jireh. Don't you ever say you can't afford it, even if it's more than you can spend. Say, I'm not interested in that at that price. Don't you say you can't. Don't you cap your Jehovah Jireh. Well, I'm on a set income. I'll never be able to get it. Not with that attitude, because there's no faith there. But when you believe, even when the natural is set, the God who is more than enough can move beyond that. And he can make a way where there is no way. He can give you an idea. He can give you an opportunity. You don't know how God's going to. You're trying to focus on, I don't see how. It's not your job to know how. It's your job to focus on the who. And when you begin to know who he is, you'll begin to see him do what you never. Do you really think Israel had in their mind when they came to the Red Sea, oh, how's God going to get us out of this? I know, Moses. I bet he splits the water. He never split no water. Sit back and shut up, they would have told him. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They didn't have to know how God was going to do it. That God did stuff they never seen before when they were back in Egypt. And if he did it when they were back in Egypt, don't you think he can do it on the way to the promised land? Oh, I don't know how he's going to do it. And God told Moses, just lift the staff. Just get that word up there. Let me handle it. And God did what had never been done before. He separated that water. He dried out that ground. I mean, that's a miracle after a miracle. Because the Bible says that they walked on dry ground. It'd be hard enough to separate the water and bring it up. I love it in the movie. I thought they did good when they had Charlton Heston and that water go. That was beautiful. Made me want to cry. No, it didn't, but I thought it was cool anyway. And they walked through on dry ground. Someone said, oh, no, there wasn't that much water. Well, then how did the ground get dry? And then God afterwards, just to let them know how deep it was, he let the army come in. Come on in, enemies. And they let the water go back down. If there wasn't much water to separate, then it was even a bigger miracle because God drowned a whole army. Just a little bit of water. But I'm telling you, it was a lot of water. Your God in the midst of a wilderness can do what you, don't you try. Some of us, man, we just think we're so smart. We're going to figure God, how's God? Well, if he gives me an extra few hours a month overtime, and if I start selling it, he might tell you to sell something. He might give you an overtime. I don't know. But you spend all your time on the how. The true how shows up, walks right by you. I don't got time for you. You better be sensitive because all of a sudden the God opportunity come by. Oh, I don't got time for you. I'm so caught up in what I think should be the God opportunity. Some of you are so caught up looking to certain people. Well, I know I got that rich relative. I know they're going to bail me out. And you've been waiting for the phone to call. You even call. Hey, just checking in. How you doing? Okay, bye. Because you misread the Bible. You thought faith without hints is dead. Don't you just know you people when they try to. They know that you could do something and they just hint a little bit about it. How you doing? I don't know. Just a little short on my bills this month. I'm just praying God will meet my needs. Don't know when it's going to come, but I need it soon. Some of you felt under pressure. Oh, what should I do? Just tell them no. But that's not Christ-like. Sure it is. Jesus told people no. See, you do what God shows you to do. I'm not telling you don't be generous. We teach you to be generous. I just teach you not to be abused and used by people, manipulated by people. It's okay when someone says, well, you're a Christian. Have you ever noticed that people who don't go to church, don't love Jesus, don't even read their Bible will tell you what a Christian should do? Since when? Who made them the expert? Last time I looked, they're not even in the game. Oh, if you're a Christian, you should do that. Hang on. So, what are you doing? I'm praying. I mean, they're not a Christian. How would they know? What are you praying about? I'm asking Jesus. Now he says, I don't have to help you. He says, you were gambling the other day. And you were buying, and all you have to do is go, they'll run. Come on, lighten up, some of you. Some of you are just way too serious. Have fun in church. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. So how do we begin to apply this? How do we begin to apply that? That's what we're going to talk about today. Number one, I want you to notice the first part. It says, you have anointed my head with oil. Now, I want to bring that to the context of what David was saying. Because David doesn't see being anointed with oil the way we see it. The way we see it, we either take in the context of we walk down the aisle and they get a little bottle of oil. They put their finger on it. Put it on your forehead. Pray for you. Or we'll see it with, I get filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's important. That's the oil we want. But in the context of what David was saying, came from his perspective. And he had already had a situation where he was just working with the sheep. And he got a call. Your dad wants you. We'll modernize it. He got a text. OMG, get home quick. Prophet Sammy showed up. So David gets home, and Samuel had already gone to Jesse's house because God said, anoint, go to Jesse's. I got somebody there I want you to anoint to be the next king. And we all know, most of us know the story. He tells Jesse, Jesse brings all the guys out. Nope. Oh, it's got to be this one. God said, nope, nope, nope. Have you ever had God tell you no when you just knew it was a yes? Well, that's another story of another time, but they have, and he, no, no, and he, okay, what's going on? So we begin to dig a little deeper. Don't you have any sons? Well, I have one. Now, some theologians believe that David was a byproduct of a, you could say, like an affair. And they get that for the context. David said, I was conceived in iniquity. That's where that context comes from. If it is or isn't, I don't know. But it would make sense why Jesse would hide him and not call him in when the prophet showed up. And when David shows up, God says, that's the one. And Samuel began to anoint David. And when they anointed, it was oil, top of the head, down the face, down the beard, going down. It enough oil until it hit the shoes. Now, we don't do that anymore, quite frankly, because we don't want you to charge us the cleaning bill for your clothes. You're like, boy, this church must pour oil because there's spots everywhere. You know, he's just sitting on the carpet. Our modern-day church, we don't do that. But I want you to understand how the context of what he was trying to communicate. He was anointed by the prophet to be king. The context was anointed to do something. Jesus communicates that when he opens up the scroll from Isaiah and begins to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach, to proclaim, to declare. You can say any way you want, and it goes on and on, and it talks about basically, he has anointed me to do something. So when God anoints you, it's to do something. We want the provision, but we don't always want to do something. God, I'll just drop a nickel in the bucket or throw an offering, and I'll sit here and wait for you to back up the FedEx truck, beep, beep, and unload everything. No, no, he gives it to you as he calls you to do something. Stay with me. Because in our day and age, we keep going to the mailbox looking for an unmarked envelope full of cash. You keep calling your bank looking to see if there's unexpected deposits. And praise God if that happens. But I'm telling you, we receive and inherit the promises of God. Hebrews tells us through faith and patience. Faith without works is dead. The action that he calls you to do must be in the direct of that revelation. He's asked you to do something. And yet when he anoints you, he's anointing you with an action. Say an action. Yes. Don't shout me down. Say an action. See, God wants you to do, it's not what everybody's doing, it's what he's asking you to do. And what he's asking you to do may look similar to what he's asked somebody else to do, but what he's asking you to do is a direct revelation for your obedience, and your obedience does not make the miracle happen. Your obedience gives him permission to bring the miracle into your life. Your giving doesn't make it happen. Your prayer doesn't make it happen. Your obedience to what he told you to do gives him permission in your life. You've opened the door for the miracle maker to bring the miracle in your life. And so many times people write books of how the thing created the miracle, but the thing is not the miracle. God is the miracle. Your obedience opens the door for him to do the miracle.
That's like Moses saying, look at this staff. I lift this staff. This is a Red Sea splitting staff. Everybody, we need to buy one. Everybody needs one of these in your home. And everybody could spend $19.99 and get their own staff. But it probably never split a Red Sea again. Because it wasn't the staff. It was the obedience to the word of God. The name of God to split the Red Sea. And some of us don't need that Red Sea split. You got something else you need. That's a little different. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. When you begin to see what God wants you to do, it's just not for you. It's just not for you. That's the second point. You got to remember that for us to access what God has for us, he's going to begin to bless you so that you become a blessing. He is not the God of just enough. He wants to be the God of more than enough. But it doesn't and it shouldn't stop with just you. When I talk to people who are struggling financially, do you know what's a common denominator? Their top focus is them. I'm not saying God doesn't want you blessed. God wants you. God don't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. Until you learn the purpose for David, the anointing was to be king, to bring rule and order, to protect the people. The connection was with the assignment of God. We don't want assignments. We don't want roles. We don't want responsibilities. We just want the reward. But with the reward is connected, if you find people that are receiving the reward God's way, you'll find that the reward is connected to the role or the assignment. God doesn't anoint you to have goosebumps so you just have a good emotional day. He anoints you so that he can use you to minister to somebody else. People that is overflowing in an area have learned that it's not just about them. God will bless your business, but as long as your business is just about you getting a bigger paycheck, your business is just limited. But when you begin to say, God, I want you to bless my business so I can be a blessing to more people, so I can get the gospel out. I mean, that changes the perspective. When your perspective is focused and the core center is you, you're missing. You become the hindrance. It's not the devil stopping you. You become your own hindrance to what God has for you. Doesn't matter if it's money, doesn't matter if it's love, doesn't matter if it's peace, doesn't matter if it's joy, doesn't matter if it's forgiveness. When forgiveness is all about, why don't they forgive me? Well, you haven't forgiven anybody in 6 years. Well, they've done me wrong. Usually when you forgive somebody, it's because they have done you wrong. Deep thought, isn't it? It's amazing how we don't want it to flow to others from us, but we want others to flow to us. I can't believe people aren't helping me. Well, when's the last time you helped somebody? Well, don't they know I'm anointed? Well, welcome to the party. If you're part of the body of Christ, we all should be anointed. And the problem is we get so focused on our thing and we have no time for anybody's thing and we can't wonder why God's not blessing our thing. Maybe you ought to let your thing drop down and say, God, I'll leave it at your feet. You anointed me to do something. Show me, because I know it has somebody else. God will use your obedience, and on the other side of your obedience is somebody in need. Oh, I want to be famous and write a great song so people know I'm a real artist. Well, you're probably not getting too many songs, but you begin to say, God, give me a song to help somebody that's hurting. Now your motivation's changed. Songs will start coming to you right and left. It's easy to do it for our own gratification. But when we begin to say, God, use me, because I know there's assignment to the blessing, an assignment. Notice the next verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is that? It's not goodness and mercy is chasing you. Because that verse, if you take that verse as is, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, which means it doesn't catch up. Because if you follow somebody, you never catch up. Right? If I'm following you, and if I follow you forever, for all the days of your life, that means I'll never catch up until I get to the casket. What good is that? If God has goodness and mercy chasing you but never catches you, that's like somebody having a $1 million check that they haven't mailed yet. you're not benefiting from. But that's not what it's saying. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. It says, it's basically saying, goodness and mercy is the places where you've been. Some people, you know where they've been because of the heartache and the brokenness. Not you. Surely goodness and mercy follows you. They can see where you've been because where you've been, you've left goodness and mercy. Goodness, look what's happening, and mercy. You're blessing people. You're forgiving people. You're speaking kind words to people. You're loving people. You're whatever it might be. Your goodness and mercy. There's three of us that are into this. The rest, not too sure, because and praise God, God wants you blessed. I'm totally into that. There's a balance to everything. Praise God, God wants you to succeed. I'm into that. Praise God, you're the head and not the tail. The problem is when we don't let people know, give them the inside track of why they're the head and not the tail. Why they're blessed. Why they're more than enough. Because if we just tell them it's about them, we have hinder their spiritual growth, because part of spiritual growth is learning it's not all about you. We know that. We teach our kids. It's not all about you. You grow and you find of an adult that doesn't learn that. What are they? Very self-centered. They think it's all about them. But you got to say, wait a minute. You have to understand the world doesn't revolve around you. You're important. We love you, but it's not all about. When we live our spiritual lives thinking it's all about us. But God, why am I not accessing what you prepared for me? Because you still think it's all about you. Does God want your needs met? Absolutely. Does he want you healed? Absolutely. These are all part of it. But if it's all about just you, and then you stop your journey with God when you get it, you're missing it. Because what he does in your life is the beginning phase. It's like a seed, and he wants it to be produced and released into the lives of other people. He just doesn't want you healed. He wants healing to flow through your life to help somebody else. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Last but not least, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Because when you begin to access the table of God, do you know what the natural tendency is? Thank you, God, for the raise. Thank you, God, for the job. Thank you, God, for the career. Thank you, God, for the healing. Thank you, God, for the answer. I'll see you next time I have a crisis. God had to tell his people, when I bring you to that place of provision, the promised land and blessing, don't you forget it was me that gave you power to get wealth. We got to keep coming back. The Lord, thank you. Even at the top of the mountain, I still need you. Even in the promised land, I need you. Even when the doors open, I need you. And God said to Moses, I won't go into the promised land with you. I'll send an angel. And Moses said, God, what separates this nation from all the other nations of the world? It is that your presence is with us. And if you don't go, we don't go. I'm telling you, you can be anointed and rich. You can be anointed and successful. You can be anointed and have connections and networks. You can be anointed and healthy. You can be anointed. God doesn't want you to let go, because the greatest thing on this side and all sides of eternity, it's not the money, it's not the fame, it's not the power, it's not the success, it's not the friends. The greatest thing in all eternity is the presence of Almighty God in your life. You can walk through the paths of darkness and still walk with light, because you're not alone. When you think it's the stuff, you're short-circuiting yourself. But when you say, Father, I thank you for all you've prepared, but I want you to know I'm still coming back to you all the days of my life, all the days of my life. He wasn't talking about the church the way we know it. He was talking the place that was a little tent with a mercy seat and the Shekinah glory. And he would get in there and say, God, I'm never going to let go of your presence. All the days of my life, I will dwell in your house. I want to be in your presence. God wants, listen to me, let me sum it up. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to use your life as a billboard of his goodness. God wants you healed. These are things already purchased on Calvary. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to have a great life. He wants you to have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. He wants to have you. Where even all the stuff in the world you could have, you still keep coming back and say, Father, thank you. But I want you to know, at the end of the day, you are the most important thing in my life. You start living that way. God, I thank you for blessing me. It's just not for the nicer stuff, but God will use the blessing to meet your need and to get the gospel out.
Well, I don't need any more, but what I got, I'm on a fixed income and I'm fine.
Well, good. Believe for $10,000 more than you're fine. And use that $10,000 and let's see how many people we can feed. Let's see how many churches we can start. Let's see how we can get the gospel out.
God will bless you.
Very scriptural. It says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. No, God will bless you. But if all the blessing stop is with you, then you haven't reached the blessing that God has for you. If it stops with you, you haven't reached the level. There is so much more. When you begin to say, show me God, and let him guide you. For the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.